All right, as I said, I misspoke when we recorded that ad. It's the 2012 team that will be celebrated during the season. When, if you get involved with the Thrill Pack, you're going to get a ticket to that game. Not 2002. The Rally Monkey is not coming back. Priest Ranch Wines, wonderful, wonderful wines, PriestRanchWines.com. Tasting room is open up in Yountville. Just say that you heard it here. And they're going to have big news up around the tasting room as well as the season goes on. Joining us, he's a star at KMBR, and that is Adam Copeland. Adam, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Marty? Good to be back on with you for weekend baseball talk, man. It's fun.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. Congratulations on the new gig, but we love having you on the weekend.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, it's the one-stop baseball shop where I can still stop by on weekends and just sort of shoot the bull about what's going on around the league.
Well, and we always value your opinion, and God, we've talked about a ton of things here in the first couple of weeks of spring training. It seems like we've been here forever, and they're cramming everything in. What's your take on the shortened spring training and what you see from the ball club right now?
Well, I guess the number one thing that stands out is the pitching staff. I think it's been cool, and I know we're going to get a look at Alex Cobb. It's been cool to see all the starters pitch pretty well, at least to this point. We had Gabe Kapler on Friday after the game on our show, and he said the same thing, that some of the younger guys who have come into the later innings have struggled throwing strikes. But what we've seen from the starters, from Logan Webb, from Carlos Rodon, from Alex Wood, it's looked really good so far. So that's the number one thing that stands out. I guess with the shortened spring training, as far as the number of games go, it's kind of nice because they always say there's too many games. I think it's Brandon Crawford who frequently says, you know, it's a 162-game schedule, but when you add in spring training, we're talking close to 200 games these guys are playing. So for a ball club that's older like the Giants, and we still haven't seen a whole lot of some of the older guys or some of the guys who will be in the lineup regularly, I think the shortened spring training could affect some of that early in the season, but really, if they're going to expand the rosters and add a couple more pitchers, I don't think it'll be much of a problem.
Well, 28, at least for the first month, so we'll see how many pitchers they carry. I'm sure they'd love to carry about 20 if they could, get away with it. Bill is here with us to chat with you as well. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Adam, congratulations. I know we've congratulated each other several times over the last couple of months, got to talk to you several times, and you're getting a little more sleep now doing that afternoon drive. You know, you've had some great interviews, Tom and you, both about the Giants, but you know, I want to just look at the NL West, your assessment. Of course, the Dodgers are loaded, but what do you think after the Dodgers? You know, with Tatis's injury, the Rockies loading up, what is your thoughts about the NL West?
I never really buy the Rockies. Even when they're good, they're just kind of a nuisance. They could be a problem offensively, but they just, for an organization that's been around as long as they have, you think they'd develop like one starting pitcher. They had like half a season of Ubaldo Jimenez 10 years ago, and that's the only pitcher it seems like they've ever developed. As far as the Padres go, I think the Padres are looking for some bounce backs. They need guys like Chris Paddock to pitch well. They've tried to bolster that rotation. They need guys like Blake Snell to pitch like the ace they believe he is. Yu Darvish, obviously, was a big guy coming over. So as far as that goes, I think the Padres have the ability to be deep, and I think they feel like they underachieved last year. Tatis, the health stuff with him early on in his career has already been a major issue, and it sort of makes you wonder about that $300-plus million contract he got, where sure, he was deserving of it, but we had not seen him have sustained success yet as far as health goes throughout the life of a full season. And I think we're going to see that again this year because of a mistake he made in the offseason, riding a motorcycle or doing his best Jeff Ken impression, whatever happened with his broken wrist. So as far as the Padres go, I still think they stack up sort of the same way we saw it last year. I think as far as the rosters go, it's Dodgers, it's probably Padres, and then it's Giants, because the Giants have something to prove too. No Buster Posey. Obviously, you're looking for guys like Belton Crawford to have career years again, which it's tough to do back-to-back seasons this late in your career. So we'll see how it goes. But I think as it stands right now, the Giants, at least roster-wise, are probably the third best team in the division.
And you know, when you look at the Giants and what they're producing, and of course we haven't seen their full nine players out there, including the DH, what kind of team do you think this is? Is it a power team? Is it a speed team? Or are they just the analytics and we're just going to see what they throw out there per pitcher?
I think we're going to see a lot of what we saw last year. I think it's going to be a lot of good pitching. You look at the back end of the bullpen, they've got three guys who could close games at this point. You've got Camilo Doval, you've got Jake McGee, and you've got Tyler Rogers, who did it last year. Then you mentioned some of these younger guys like Kervin Castro, who looked really good at the end of last season. Dominic Leone was great for them out of the bullpen. And then you've got this rotation that's got some guys who have relieved and have come been starters, guys like Carlos Martinez. And if Jacob Junis ends up on the on the roster or in the bullpen, he's a guy with an option, so he could come up and down. You mix those guys in, and then maybe Matt Boyd at some point when he comes back from injury. I think it's going to be a team that matches up really well defensively and on the pitching side of things, and I think it's going to be a team that strikes out a lot and hits a good amount of home runs, as evidenced by their pickup of Jock Peterson. So I think it's going to be much of the same from last year. I am curious about defense at second base and maybe some of the outfield defense, but you're still looking for big years from guys like Slater, guys like Lamont Wade Jr. to repeat what they did last year to keep the Giants in the West race.
You think there's any fallout from the lockout, especially in San Francisco, attendance-wise? How do you feel the buzz? You guys are on every day. What's the buzz around baseball?
I mean, I would assume people are excited about it. I feel like always, Marty, that San Francisco is kind of a baseball town. Like, when the playoffs started last year, you felt it again. You think back to the World Series runs. Obviously, everybody was hyped on that. People love the Warriors here, and people love the 49ers, but there's something about October baseball in San Francisco. So I think the diehards will be back. I think, if anything, there will still be some lingering effects from the pandemic. I think, in general, people just aren't going about their lives the way they were before the pandemic in terms of going to the movies, in terms of going out to eat, going to concerts and venues. I think stuff is still sort of crawling its way back. So I think that even if there's attendance issues early in the season, I wouldn't associate it so much with the lockout because we didn't really lose anything this season. I know it was annoying to deal with and to not have the conversation of baseball daily like we'd like this time of year, but I would find it hard to believe that people are that upset about not losing anything as far as your games go to not show up early on.
Adam Copeland joining Marty and I and talking baseball today. You know, we talk about chemistry in the clubhouse. We talk about how this team really relies on different leaders in the clubhouse, quiet leaders, of course, losing Buster Posey. But they bring in Jock Peterson. Brandon Crawford and he are best of friends, and he really liked the move. Crawford came out and said, hey, I really like this. He's a good team member. Where do you feel that Jock Peterson's going to fit in the outfield? What position? He's playing center field. And what do you think? Do you think he'll DH a lot?
I think he's a better corner outfielder at this point. I wouldn't be surprised. I want to say at some point in his career he played a little bit of first base. I know they've got Belts over there and Darren Ruff can play first and Wilmer Flores. But I feel like if the Giants know that you can play a little bit of something, you might end up there for an inning or for a game or for to finish off a game if a game goes extra or something like that. So as far as the Jock Peterson signing, I didn't really have a problem with it. I thought he was a good add. I've always liked guys who want to be Giants and then end up coming to San Francisco, even though he was a Dodger first. I know that irks some people. But as far as what he brings to the lineup, he's a big thumper. He's a guy who's going to strike out a lot, and he's going to hit for power. He's going to shore up, I guess, against right-handed pitching a little bit better. I did think that they needed a right-handed bat. I know they're putting a lot of faith into guys like Darren Ruff from the right side. I did think they needed another right-handed bat. But if he's the option for them, I think it gives you some versatility as far as, giving guys like Mike Yastrzemski a day if they need a day. He grinded through last season a little bit. And so I think having his power, you can bat him pretty much anywhere in the lineup. He's going to do pretty much the same thing every time out as far as a swing for the fences. I think he's a good option to have in the middle of the lineup. But I think they needed to bolster it a little bit to make sure you get some thump, because you're putting a lot on a guy like Joey Bart's shoulders to sort of make up some of the production from Buster Posey last year. I think Jock Peterson helps that.
Yeah, I think Bart just got a catch. I've said this yesterday. Don't worry about his hitting. Just make sure the guy can catch the ball and, it doesn't clank out of his glove and that he can catch this staff. I give him the whole year. I say, just be a catcher, and I'm not going to worry about the hitting. That's my feeling on Bart. Let me give you some news. Andy Baggerly and Alex Pavlovich just tweeted out, and Bill, you may have seen it, and Adam as well. The Giants have acquired outfielder Luke Williams from the Phillies for minor league infielder Will Toffey. Williams had been DFA'd by the Phillies a few days ago. He's a former Team USA standout who hit a walk-off homer in his first big league start last year, and he has options. So he's basically a right-handed version of Jason Vosler. Adam, that's the move that the Giants make.
it's funny is I think it was maybe Murph and I or somebody a couple months ago, we were joking about, you know, during the lockout, if the Giants were going to make some moves and if they'd go after Trevor Story or Carlos Correa. And I think the consensus was the best Giants outfielder this year is probably buried on AA for the Mariners or something right now, which, hey, this could be that guy. There's not really any questioning Farhan and Scott's ability to evaluate talent. These no move too small mantra is certainly something they live by. And hey, if it ends up being a depth piece, if it ends up being somebody like Mike Tauchman, it helps you win one game that was the difference in the division last season. It's a positive. So baseball's fun like that, where little pieces can help you sort of round out a season or can make a huge impact. And some guys who aren't big names end up with big moments that help a team and go down in team history. So who knows? Maybe Luke Williams is that guy.
Well, I tell you what, Luke Williams, as Marty was saying, and I was looking him up, he plays every position. He plays infield, outfield, and mainly an infielder. One of the things people threw out there, he played seven different positions for the Phillies last year, so that is the perfect Farhan kind of guy. Of course, he got DFA'd. He had no place on that major league roster, so he's coming over here for a minor leaguer. Something like you just said, Adam, maybe this is another position player that could help out. Another question I want to throw to you is Estrada. Estrada's had a very solid spring. Picked him up from the Yankees last year. What'd you think about him so far, and where do you think he's going to fit in?
I really liked him last year. I know he didn't get consistent playing time, but it felt like at times last year they were sort of touchy. I want to say he played a little bit of left field just because they needed his bat in the lineup. They were trying to find ways to get him at bat because he was making hard contact. I imagine that because there was no other ad at second base after Donovan Solano left for Cincinnati, that it was going to kind of be his job, maybe Tommy La Stella, and then maybe a little bit of Mauricio Dubon getting work over there, and maybe they'd be battling it out this spring. So I like Ty Romana. I think he's got some pop. I think he's got 10 homer potential. He hit one the other day, just depending on how many at-bats he gets. But he was a nice find last year. He's another one of those guys that they snatched from the Yankees, and the Yankees didn't have a spot for him, and he was a key contributor. So he's got some speed. He's got a decent glove. I want to say he wasn't the best fielder, but a second base is sort of like Marty's talking about with catchers. Sometimes you'll just take him. You'll take whatever production you can get from that position. It's almost like a underrepresented position as far as statistical prowess goes. So if you get anything from that, you're kind of happy. But no, I like Tyro Estrada, and I know they batted him as high as five a couple of times last year. I think he's a guy who's going to help out this season.
So we're back with the ghost runner in the 10th inning. He's on second base. We don't know who he is until we see the lineup, but they put him out there. How do you feel about that?
It's not my favorite thing. I guess the saving grace here is that it's just for this season. It's not the life of the CBA, but they also told us it was just going to be 1 year in 2020, and here we are in 2022 still dealing with it. So I don't know. I'm not really sure what the purpose of it is this year. When they said it was for safety reasons and COVID, to get people off the field quicker, to not have people out there as long, I guess it made sense. Doesn't make much sense to me now. As far as the rule itself goes, I'm interested to see if there's going to be some better universal strategy. I don't think any team has really figured out how to approach defensively or offensively what you should do. You could go bunt and sack fly every time and try to get a run, or you could send the runner. I just don't think there's a universal strategy for how to handle it. I also wish baseball had gone the route of like hockey, where you get one period to try to win the game on your own, where they give them, I don't know, two or three frames. You get through the lineup one time, and then you go to the ghost runner in the 13th or in the 12th or something like that. But it's not my favorite thing, but I guess it's sort of small potatoes at this point. We got baseball back.
Adam, final one for me. 12 days after today, before opening day, what as a fan, and you're a fan, also an analyst, what do you want to see from the Giants for the next 12 games?
I guess I'd like to see a few of the regular lineups out there. I know they ran a couple out there the other day. I want to see a little bit more regular lineups, and I want to see the pitchers go a little bit deeper. I don't need everybody doing the Max Scherzer where you come out your first spring start and go five innings and 72 pitches. That was insane that he came out and was ready to do that, especially because he couldn't go in the LCS last year after pitching in the division series against the Giants. But I like to see the guys get stretched out a little bit. You want to go into the start of the regular season healthy. You want to have a defined rotation. You want to see how the bullpen shakes out. Maybe Jake McGee's the closer to start the year is what Gabe Kapler was saying the other day. So I guess it's just about health. And because I think pitching is going to be the strength, I think I'd like to see some successful outings from the bullpen guys as well.
Boy, great having you on. By the way, Bill, you motivated me to look up Luke Williams on Baseball Reference. And his nickname is Captain America. Isn't that Burns? Isn't Burns Captain America?
I think he was, yeah.
Well, maybe the guy runs around like a maniac like Burns does. We'll see.
Yeah.
Boy, that's the move for today. Adam, great to chat with you. We'll do it during the season. We love having you on.
Thanks, Adam.
Oh, it's always fun, guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right, very good. Bill, what do you have coming up tonight?
Well, I tell you what, we have Dave Righetti coming up on Extra Innings. Had a chance to talk to him, and he's in the minor leagues in spring training. We talked a lot about what's going on there and his thoughts on the upcoming season. But anytime you talk to Dave Righetti, and you know this, Marty, you talk pitching, and boy, he is just a genius, and I love talking pitching with him.
Ah, beautiful. All right, we'll chat with you next week. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Lineup today, Yastrzemski, Crawford, Ruff, Jock Peterson, Flores, Bart, Crizan. Keep your eye on him. He could make this team, too. Luis Gonzalez, Dubon at second base, and Alex Cobb is the pitcher today. Alvarez, Jelly, Duvall, we'll see a lot of them in there today against the Angels. All right, next Saturday, same time, 11 o'clock. Giants baseball coming up right now, KNBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.